Thanks, Garrett. Mobile.
Okay, mobile.
I didn't interrupt somebody's conversation, did I? Forgot to turn the volume up.
Thing. Before you came on, I just got back in the truck about 3 minutes before you identified, so I think you're good.
I want to make sure I wasn't interrupting somebody by accident there.
You interrupted the conversation I was having in my mind with myself, but it was probably a good thing.
I'm glad to hear you admit that you are talking to yourself in your head.
Did you do that?
People won't admit it.
Voices I hear are my own, all of them. No, I won't say that. I better not say that.
Me, myself, and I.
Done for the day?
I got to meet one of my old customers on the way home. They don't have a Matco distributor right now, so he needed some wrenches that he lost, so he's meet me.
On your way back to your other vehicle.
It's just up the road there from Ferris Bridge Road.
Like over that way.
253 right now, it's pretty heavy.
Actually, we're really not that far away. I'm crossing Whitehorse here down by Donaldson Center, so really not that far away.
You're at, something's interfering with the radio over here.
Low into Whitehorse down here by Donaldson Center.
Not far away at all. I'm just coming out of 253 here. Just leaving Greenville Transmission Clinic.
Did you get to see Tim and Tammy today?
I see them. They were probably up in the office, but I don't go up there most days. Try to stay out of the office. Too many customers that aren't mine up that way.
Into their place. Do you pull in and turn around or what? That's not a very big spot.
Hey, and I go around back. There's more room around back. But I have had to back around the building and out of the building. So, yeah, it's no fun. But at least I can do it without having to get in the parking or on the road. So it's not too bad.
Bridge of them one time out of the tractor trailer. But it was, I was running out that way, and one of the guys in the office said, hey, are you headed by them? I mean, here's a little tiny box that got left off the vehicle. Can you run it out to them? So I just parked in the median and walked it off.
Me was when I had the trailer, having to back all the way around through there. That was always a fun visit.
To demonstrate your backing skills. Years ago, before I knew who they were, I used to pick up there back when, well, it was, I think it was before Tim was even working there. He had his own place. This was back in the 90s. They would ship out, I can't remember what they're called. You probably know. I guess they still do it. Something to do with the clutches or transmissions, obviously. Tell me what it is. You know what they ship out.
Probably shipping out store converters or overhaul kits, and you've got frictions and steels in there inside the transmission, so it could have been any number of those.
That's what it was. They had a pretty good business shipping those out. I don't know if they built them or if they just warehoused them and then shipped them out, but they, as far as I know, they were new. I don't think they were reconditioned. They might have been, but they had a little room back there where somebody packed them all day and shipped them out.
We'll do that. They're a distribution center for, I think, Daco, I believe, is the one that does it.
Yeah, I haven't had to go by there in years. I was wondering about that.
We'll do that. They're still shipping out transmission parts. So they got all that room full of them.
In that pickup, because you had to back up to the door, and the way the driveway dipped down right there, it left the back of the truck up really high, and they would have two or three carts of those things, and they were heavy, just have to lift them up into the back of the package car and then climb up in the package car and lift them up off the floor into onto the shelves. It's just one of those stops that I didn't enjoy doing. It's too much work.
I hate that parking lot. That entrance and exit ramp that they got there is, it throws stuff in the floor every time, and it's just it's a pain to go in and out of there. I have to be real slow.
To try to help with the water coming down that driveway as well.
I assume that some of it, but it's still awful steep. And then they got that sign there, and the gates are over there close to the edge of the property where I got to go around back. So, and cars like to park over there. It gets really tight. I mean, some days there might be an inch or 2 inches on each side of the truck coming in and out of there.
Well, I'm just glad I don't have to go there anymore. All right, I'm going to let you go. I'm almost back to the building, but we've got one lane here on Malden Road blocked with police cars. So I got to try to move over a lane or two in traffic. I'll talk to you later. Be careful going home. KO4HKX and 4ZLK.
And good to hear you today and good to see you. You be careful out there too. KO4HKX and I'll be mobile.
NC9V. Hey, Patrick.
Well, they'll let anybody on this repeater, won't they?
You're still talking.
That's what I was talking about. Did you think I was talking about you?
Oh, no.
This afternoon.
I'm not. I'm sitting there just playing on the computer.
I'm a retired man today.
On the tractor, one of my neighbors asked me about clearing out the spot on the road where they had that big mud slide, and I went down there and worked on that for a couple hours, and then came back up to the house, rained down, swapped out cards in the game camera, and pretty much been goofing around the house.
Picture you sent me earlier, both of them, I'm assuming that was right there at your house.
It's going to taste good.
Black fuzzy one or the brown one?
The black furry one's a little greasy.
Actually never had bear meat, so I'll have to give it a try one day.
What was he getting there?
I didn't know him. Important.
ANC9V. Yeah, bear meat tends to be a little bit, I want to say greasier, but there's no better word for it. I just can't think of it right now.
It's pretty gamey.
It's about venison, so.
It boils down to how you cook it most of the time, so it just depends on what you like to do with it.
But I bet venison.
I'm reading between the lines.
Yeah, it covers over to my speech, too. They're moving this beam antenna one day when I get a chance.
I know they're doing good last night. They're at the end, I could hear you real well when I was on my IC7000. I could hear better on it and get out better than I could with my 991A.
Yeah, I was on my vertical to get off the beam.
Verticals, I don't know, it's a good 20 feet higher than my beam.
Separate the two, the vertical and the beam. I've separated them a little bit further distance, and I think that's going to help out a lot. Plus, I've got a tin roof, so it's going to get it away from the tin roof a lot more, which will help it out.
That 2 meter template, man, it's pretty fun to try to get into, isn't it?
You can listen to Westminster, South Carolina, from my house, and they're booming. Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Booming into mine, too. Surprised everybody when he come in there.
I'm up now, trying to get my mileage.
Good last night. Shannon said we had 15 get checked in.
I think the interest is definitely there.
They got their antennas polarized the same way. It would probably do a better job, though.
Drive to Westminster, it's 87 miles.
At least 60 miles as a crow flies, so I mean, really, in the terrain we're in, that's pretty dang good. Me with a mountain to my back right there, for me to be able to hear him.
So then I was.
Oh, I'll go granite between me and him.
This is the rock there, Patrick.
You know, sometimes it works for you, sometimes it works against you. Off here for a minute. I'll maybe back in a few minutes.
KO4HK,
and I'll be clipping out.
7-3. All right, Patrick, no rush, and have a good time.
NC9B. KO4PXB.
4PXB. NC9B, name's Leon. How are you doing today, sir?
Good. My name is Lloyd. Just got off work and heading to the house. So, it's definitely been a good day. Hopefully yours has.
Day off is a good day in my book. Yeah, I got to play with my tractor this morning, play with the game camera, and wait to see what the evening's going to hold.
Definitely hope you enjoyed your day off. It sounded fine. Yeah, last night was a disaster for me. The metal pipe for the hot water heater burst for the house. That was actually supplied the hot water for the house. Excuse me. I heard the noise, and I just thought somebody knocked something over or fell upstairs. But then when I had no water pressure, and I went into the powder room, and I still heard a kind of odd noise. I went out there, and yeah, there was water spraying everywhere.
Yeah, that's never a fun thing. Did you get it all sprayed away?
Yes, I turned the water off yesterday, and Wade's Plumbing come by and fixed it today because I have the home shields warranty, so they came out and fixed it for $100. Can't beat that.
No muss, no fuss on your part. That's good. That's good.
Yep. Now, I'll probably go through and, well, I'll definitely go through and see what damage might have been done by the water spraying everywhere.
Story, not too long ago, we lost our refrigerator due to Hurricane Helene. And since the loss, I had to replace it. Of course, you know, yeah, I used to make a water line. Well, I, you know, cut the water line off, you know, with a pair of wire snips, just cut the hose. Swapped out, put the new refrigerator in, and the guy brought the hose. We bought the refrigerator, and it wasn't long enough, so I said, don't worry about it. I'll do it on my own. Let the repeater reset there. I'll do it on my own. So we went to three trips to Home Depot trying to get the right size barrel connectors. I could put two of those lines together to make that distance, 10 feet plus another 10 feet, to make the 20-foot run. Got it all hooked. Well, getting ready to hook it up or something, but for some reason or another, I forgot to turn the water off. I got a little bit of water in the kitchen. It was spraying everywhere.
That's never a good thing to do.
The PEX lines that I put in are going to hold up good. Put PEX in, and put it in the bathroom in. Plumbed up myself, and put PEX in and crimped them and everything. And hopefully it's going to hold up very well.
Yeah, I was definitely shocked when I saw that where that line broke from, because like the whole metal part of it just blew apart inside from where it was going to the PVC pipe to the actual metal connector. And I was looking on the Home Depot site to see if there was, you know, had the pipe, the line fitting to fix it, but I did not have a way of, you know, fixing the PVC pipe part of it that where the cable connected to.
Curiosity there, do you know how many PSI you have coming into the house?
No, but I can probably try to find out.
Yeah, I'm on a well, so I could adjust mine as I wish. And I keep it low, you know, 35 to 40 PSI. I don't run it real high. For that one reason, the more higher you run it, the more chance you're going to blow a line. So I keep it kind of low. Get plenty of water, doesn't affect it at all.
Would the water company be able to tell me that, or would I just pretty much have to look at the meter box out in the yard?
Put a gauge on it, being on city water, because they probably wouldn't even know, because it's all different throughout the lines. You know, you're on top of a little bit of a ridge, you might have 50, 60 PSI coming in. If you're down in a valley, you might have 80, 90.
What should be the, I'll put it this way, what's the ideal pressure where you know, don't blow in a line like that?
Bit beyond my expertise, but I would think anything 60 would be about the highest I'd want to go, 60 PSI.
All right. That line into to get a good reading.
Put it at the end of a faucet. Go to the outside faucet and put a gauge on there and just turn the water on the faucet. It'll read how many PSI it's pushing.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping, that it would just be connected to that and then go from there. So yeah, I'll try to find that out and go from there.
The line, you should be able to tell if there's a lot of corrosion, or if there's corrosion on it. Chances are, if you've got metal pipes, then you may have another area that's maybe looking at the same thing, because they all corrode about the same speed, I guess.
There was definitely no corrosion on them. They were nice and pretty, and they just definitely blew apart. They were, nothing looked out of the ordinary to it.
I'll be kind of curious as to what you're, how many pounds of pressure you got running there. Take a look at that. If it's too high, you can get a regulator, step it down.
Yeah, I'll definitely be more likely to get that gauge at Home Depot or somewhere.
But you probably just borrow one.
Yep, I'll definitely check with the guy that used to do plumbing, because I know his friend, I think, bought his part of it, so he still may have it, or I can borrow that from him, or that, or just check into buying one.
Well, you know, if you have a well system, they all of them have a pressure gauge. If you have a well, that same gauge, you can probably put it in line somewhere at your house, just so you can keep a monitor on it. But let me look at this up. Let me Google that real quick. Don't Google it, but go on like Amazon, see what it costs for a gauge like that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm on city water. I'm not on well water.
$19.99 is what it costs on Amazon. Have it shipped right to your house free, if you have Prime.
Yep, I definitely have Amazon Prime, so that's not bad.
200 PSI water pressure gauge test with lazy hand. In other words, you can put the lazy hand wherever you want it. It'll put the lazy hand where the peak is. So if you know, put the gauge on there and leave that on all night long, it'll read it. And if it gets really high at night, that lazy hand will stay right at the highest point. That's a good deal.
Definitely sounds that way. I appreciate the information. I'll look into that.
Meters now. And they're about, they've got one here for 54, 68, 81, $24.99. There you go.
Yeah, definitely regulating it to where it's ideal, keep it from another line from popping. I'm just glad we were home to be able to know that something was going on. I know I've heard a lot of people and had friends that had that same issue where one popped and they were gone for a week or so.
Hard lesson to learn in C9B. I've got one of the one I told you for $24.99. I've got one exactly like that in my RV. We use it every time we hook up to the water at the campground, because of that same reason. You never know what the pressure's going to be. You don't want to pump the line in your camper.
I have a 34-foot RV, and I use that pressure regulator, too, for my camper. Yeah, definitely you don't want it to pop there, because you're right. The one coming from the well water like that, and it is definitely not regulated. You don't know what kind of pressure is coming out of it.
Probably just use that one you got the RV. Take that one and put it on your water faucet, your water spigot outside, and put a cap on the other end. You might need to buy a cap or just something that'll screw on the end of it and see what it gets up to.
Definitely, we'll try that and go from there.
A lot during this hurricane. You know, firemen, that's what they learn a lot about, water and hydraulics. And your prime lesson this hurricane, the damage it caused just by the hydraulics.
Yeah, but a couple of years ago, me and my wife made the investment that we got a 22 kW generator, so it ran the whole house, so we didn't lose any power. Of course, we lost internet, but we didn't lose any power or anything of food. So only thing we can't do at the same time, you can't cook and wash clothes at the same time because it's overloaded and it'll, you know, kick out one of the devices.
Generator at 6,800 watts. It's just enough to work the water pump and the well pump. And you run the well pump, but first you want to heat your water up. So you turn the well pump on, let it run for a little bit, shut it off, turn the hot water heater on, let it sit for about 20, 30 minutes, shut it off, and go back, turn the water pump back on and take a shower. But it does work. And it would also run the refrigerator and the freezer.
And prior to that, I just had a generator that would pretty much just run a couple lights and that I'd set out and run an extension cord to it. Then we would just pretty much set in one room and or the fireplace if it was really cold for power. But once we got that generator that ran the whole house, that made it nice.
Everybody is interested, but Walmart has an interesting special going on. They have a portable generator, 11,000 watts. 12,000. The wife says it's 12,000 watts for 700 something bucks, which is a really good deal. It's dual fuel. In other words, you can run it off propane or you can run it off gas.
Yeah, that hopefully people on the net are listening. That way, if they need one, they can definitely go get one.
Give a deal.
If there's any kind of major storm, the price of that's going to go up or be hard to find.
Somebody's got a propane one to see how long they run on like a 50-pound cylinder.
That definitely would be a good question. Me and my wife were worried about how much the gas bill would be when, because we ran it, the generator ran for like 5 or 6 days straight during the power outage, but it was only $173, so that wasn't bad at all to keep, we'd have lost more than that in food without the generator running.
The hour meter on ours, we had like 5 or 6 hours on it when the hurricane hit, and I initially started running it 2 hours at a time, 2 hours, maybe off an hour, 2 hours, a couple hours, run it 2 hours more. We ended up running the whole time. It's got 174 hours late on the oil change just because I wasn't going to cut it off and change oil. So it's got fresh oil in it, and it's ready to go again.
Yeah, that's probably the only thing that upset my neighbor, that the generator was pretty much running facing toward their house for that longer time frame. But nothing I can do with that one. This KO4PXB for station ID.
NC9B. I found a guy on the marketplace a couple months ago. He had a generator house that it was specially built. I mean, nice. Got the top opens up, the doors where the generator's at opens up. Heavy 2x4, fully lined with screens so you won't get any bugs in it. He's got access ports to run your cable through. He's got a blower motor, big old blower in there that the louvers open up automatically and drop back down and close. Real nice house for the generator. He only wanted $50 for it. We drove all the way to past Franklin for that thing.
That definitely did sound very neat and good thing to have.
The guy who sold it, he bought the house and it came with the house. The generator in the box. He sold the generator, didn't need the box anymore, so he said just $50 or something, come pick it up. it was a bad load up, but we got it loaded. Man, this guy overbuilt it for sure.
Running a generator definitely should be well built.
The rollers. I mean, ain't no way you could buy the lumber that's in it for $50. I'll let somebody else get in there and grab the repeater. Good talking to you. And like I said, my name's Leon, and it's called NC9B. Have a safe journey, and we'll catch you further down the pike.
All right, sir. Have a great day. It's KO4PXB.
It's 73's Lloyd. NC9B.